Mark chapter 14, and we'll begin to read in verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this another day and another time and that to come and worship you, and that to preach about you and about your wonderful gospel. Lord, we thank you for the songs that's been sung in the choir. Lord, thank you for the blood that was shed. And thank you, Lord, for coming and giving your life, the only one that ever could. I have paid the sin debt. I thank you for that this morning. God, as we get ready to preach, we need an unction from the Holy One. We need that to be anointed afresh, and that by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit today. We need that touch and that from you. Would you please help the one that's lost to get saved? Help the one that might be cold and indifferent to draw towards you today and rekindle that life and that towards you and live for you. Help the one that needs direction. I pray that you'd touch them and help them. Now again, I ask for help while we preach. Take this message, that it be used to be your honor and glory. Let me get out of the way and preach as a dying man to dying people, and we'll give the glory for it. Save that sinner's nearest tale. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. Take your Bible. You can be seated. Take your Bible and go on over to John chapter 12. You can hold your place in Mark chapter 14. But go to John chapter 12. And we find the same story again over here with a little bit more about it. In John chapter 12, Jesus has just raised Lazarus in the prior chapter. And they come over here, and we're still in Bethany. And the Bible says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." You know, when you got saved, you got raised from the dead. That's what happened. You were dead and dying in your sin. But when you got saved, you got made alive. Amen. And there they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" And this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare that, and bare what was put therein. And then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." Now I want to preach out of these scriptures today with a thought out of what the Lord said about Mary in Mark chapter 14 and in verse 8, where he said, "She hath done what she could." As I look at this passage, we find that the Lord is fixing to be betrayed. He's fixing to be betrayed by Judas. He's fixing to have to go to Calvary and die for my sin and die for your sin alike. And he knows what is coming. And so we find that not only in Matthew 26, but in these passages that I've read, we find that this is Mary that comes and anoints Jesus' head. She takes that box of spikenard that's in alabaster, and she breaks it up and she pours it over his head. And no doubt it runs all the way down And the Bible said in John 12 that she took her hair and got at his feet and began to wipe his feet and that with her hair. Hey, beloved friend, I'm going to tell you, he's worthy for us to be at his feet wiping them with our hair today. Amen. Hey, she knew who he was. She knew what he was going to do, no doubt. Hey, friend, it's not what he's going to do, but it's what he's done. Amen. That every one of us sort of get up and shout every now and again and have some praise in our heart and our heart get turned over. And beloved friend, that we and that want to do something for Jesus. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, he said she hath done what she could. I want to ask us the question this morning. Have we done what we could for Jesus? Hey, when I leave out of here, one day we're all leaving out of here, and you need to understand that. I hope when I get there, I'll hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But I hope that it'll be said that he done what he could, and that for the Lord Jesus. Listen, she couldn't maybe not been able to do a whole lot, but she done what she could. Listen, it ain't the fact that the Lord is wanting us to do things that we can't do. He's wanting us to do things for him and the glory of Christ and that for what we can do. God don't expect things out of us that we can. God expects things out of us that we can. Amen. And what we can't do, he'll do. And he'll get the glory out of all of it if we'll just do what we're supposed to do today. And so the question is, are we doing what we could? Are we doing what we can for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this morning, church. Are we awake this morning? Let me ask the first question. Amen. Are we awake this morning? Sunday morning, Brother Marvin's back there going like this. I guess if he takes a nap, I'll throw a something book at him. Amen. Amen. Y'all ducks, all I know to say. But listen this morning. Let's get awake now and enjoy the meeting. But look, and this may not be a shouting message, because I'm asking us, what are we doing for the Lord this morning? What can we do? What could we do? What does he want you to do? It seems like for the past 6 months I have been stuck on trying to find the will of God and what he wants out of our life. And he does want some things out of our life. Now this is the same Mary, before I get started, this is the same Mary that, if you remember, Martha come to the Lord, and she was cumbered about with much service. And Jesus said, and she wanted Mary to come and help her serve, but Jesus said she had chosen the good part, and that was to sit at his feet. This is the same Mary in John chapter 11 that when Lazarus had died and Jesus finally showed up, she ran out there to him and said, "If thou hast been here, my brother would not have died." It's the same Mary that comes to him as they've made service and made lunch or made supper for him, if you let me say that. That brings this alabaster box. And three things I want to look at this today, and we'll go home, okay? Number one, she's done what she could. Number one, it was costly to do what she did. I want you to look at this. The Bible said in both passages of scriptures that we read, I believe it was, that the price of the spikenard was 300 pounds or 300 pence. That's about a year's salary. They got paid about a penny a day. We find that over there in the vineyard. He was paying a penny a day to work in the vineyard. It was about 300 pence. They worked about 6 days a week. They let off for the Sabbath. There was other Sabbaths out there. So roughly this equaled a year's worth of pay. Can I ask you something this morning? How many of us would be willing to spend a year's worth of pay to put the gospel out? How many of us would be willing to get in our bank account or to give something or to sell something or to let something go, friend, that costs? I'm not saying God wants your house. I'm not saying God's wanting your bank account for you to empty it all and give it. But what I'm asking this morning is, would you do it if that's what he wanted? It's a little scary to think about that. But the pound of this spikenard oil that sat in this alabaster box that she had, listen, that thing had to be imported to Israel. Spiker had come out of the Himalayan mountains up there in India and Nepal, and all that had to be imported and that in. So it's not like that she could go out and replace it very easily. Not only that, but on top of that, it's sitting in an alabaster box. And a lot of time, maybe this was the way it was, I don't know. But alabaster is a soft stone that they would carve. And a lot of times, when they would carve these, I mean, they would make it beautiful on the outside. I read that passage in my mind, just goes to a little box that might be holding that ointment. But no doubt it was pretty on the outside. Might have been painted. I might have had carvings on the outside. Who knows? But nonetheless, listen, this thing was worth something. The Bible said in one point right here in verse 3 that it was very costly. You come over here and you look. I believe it talks about in another point that was not only costly, not only was the price of it high, but it was precious. Listen, when something's precious, it's of great value. But not only that, but we hold it dear to us. You may have things that cost you much, but it may not be dear to you. I'm going to tell you something. If I pay for it, it's dear to me. If old Mark's got to give up some cash to pay for it, I'll guarantee you it's going to be dear to me. But you know something? I believe that alabaster box that she had that spikenard oil in it that they would use for perfume and the smell and all those things, I believe that it was precious to her. I believe it was something that Mary held in high value. It was something that was important to her. But yet, when the Lord came, and I want you to notice something right here. Thank you, Lord. I hadn't even seen this till just now. You know, the Lord didn't ask for her to do that. The Lord didn't ask her to give up that box of spikenard oil in that alabaster. God didn't ask her to do that. He didn't say, Mary, go in there and get that and give that to me. He says, I know it's costly. I know that it's precious to you and it's got a high price on it. But I want it. I want you to give it to me. And I'll be honest with you, he'd have been right if he'd have done that. Whatever the Lord asked out of us, he's never going to ask wrong, is he? But you know what? He didn't ask her to do that. She gave something that was precious to her and that was of a high price to her simply because she wanted to give it to him. You know all the Lord wants out of us today? He may want something that's costly to you. He may want something that's high price to you and something that is precious to you, but he wants you to give it. You know that when I look about giving things, something that's precious, a lot of times we talk about money and our tithes and our missions and almsgiving. I'm teaching all that in Sunday school. Listen, we're going to hear a little bit about that tonight. But listen, I honestly believe that she was given sacrificially. I sat down as I studied this message and I thought to myself, Mark, have you really ever gave sacrificially? How many of us in here? And you don't have to raise your hand, shake your head or anything, but I want you to think, how many of us, it's not young, it's me too, have ever gave sacrificially to the cause of Christ? Think about that for just a second. How many of us have gave up something that was precious to us and that was pricey to us? Because we simply wanted God's message. We wanted God's work. We wanted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and that to be forwarded and that to go out. She's done what she could. Like I say, the Lord didn't ask her to do that. But how many of us has ever had a heart to where we said, Lord, for your cause, I want to do this. For your cause, I want to give this up. Lord, I sure do like this, but if you want me to sell it and give the money to missions, I'll do that. Huh? The Lord wasn't asking her She just come and done it. How many ovens raising children willing to give them up to the Lord? See, it's easy to give them up to the Lord when you think the Lord might let them hang around Athens, Tennessee, hang around McMinn County, Monroe County, Polk County, Meigs County, keep them within a couple hours of you. Well, what about giving them up to say, Lord, whatever you want out of my child, if you move them halfway around the world, that'll be fine with me. You say, that ain't going to be fine with me. But listen, hey, I studied this and I thought about Hannah, Samuel's mother. And I told you, I used to feel sad for Hannah. Because she made that promise over there to the Lord, and she made that promise of her own free will. She said, Lord, if you'll just give me a man child, give me a little boy, I'll give him back to you. And there was always a little bit of me that always thought that Hannah might have been a little sad that day that she had to take him up there and give him to Eli. Now listen, he left home. He left home when he was just, I don't know how little he was, but he was learning that in the temple. We understand that in the book of 1 Samuel. But you know what? God pointed something out to me just the other day and looking about Hannah and all that. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 2 in the first 10 verses, you'll find her song of praise over there. I don't think there was much sorrow in giving up Samuel. She just wanted to do what she could for the Lord. And listen, I believe Samuel was costly to her. I believe Samuel was precious to her. But in giving him up to the Lord, you know what the Lord done? Made probably one of the greatest prophets that the nation of Israel had ever seen. The Lord Jesus said she's done what she could. She gave up what was costly. Gave up a great price. Folks gave away money. Folks gave away cars, homes, houses. Folks gave their children and that to the Lord. Folks gave their self, their time. Some of your time is so precious to you that you're afraid to give any up some days and that to serve the Lord. Sometimes we just got to give us up. We just got to get rid of pride. I'm going to deal with that in just a minute. But sometimes we just got to give us up. We're too ashamed to raise our hand. We're too ashamed to praise the Lord. We're too ashamed in that to have a good testimony when time opens and that. So I just want to praise the Lord and thank Him for saving me. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you today. He's worthy of anything good that we can say about Him. Amen. But what brought the statement on to what He said? She hath done what she could. And she gave what was pricey and what was precious to her. Some of the disciples, and primarily Judas, said had indignation. The Bible said they had indignation. They were riled up in theirself, and I was judging her for what she done. And they looked at her and they said, we could have took this oil and the alabaster box, and we could have sold it and gave it to the poor. You know what the Lord said? First of all, He said, let her alone. Don't bother her. He said, she's doing this for me. He said, let her alone, let her do it. Let her give what she wants to give. Why? Because the poor you're always going to have, but me you're not always going to have. He said, she's anointing me unto my burial. And so He said, just let her alone and let her do it. I'm going to be honest with you, friend. If you want to do something for the... I understand that there's some people out there that's got more zeal than they've got knowledge. We'll help them. I understand that. But listen, He said they could have sold it, been given to the poor. There's always going to be people that don't understand why you do what you do. There's always going to be somebody that's got a better way and that for you to do it. There's always going to be people to ridicule us and that given to the Lord, trying to cause the Lord's word work, and that the further down the road, when they won't do nothing themselves, listen, friend, don't let people stand in your way. You give, you do what you can, and that for the Lord, because He done all, and that for us today. So it was costly, didn't it? It was costly. But number two, then she done it. Let me say quickly, some things you're going to do for the Lord are going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Number two, she done what she could, but she done it in humility. In the book of Mark, we read that she anointed his head, but in the book of John, it tells us that not only had she anointed his head out of the book of Mark, but we find that she took that and also anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. He said she's done what she could, and she done what she could in humility, not in pride. You know, every time that I look up the word humble to see what it means, it always gives you to be low or to be abased or submissive, but then it always stuck out here on the end as opposed to lofty or high. You know, when she come to do this, she didn't come and do it for those that were standing around. She didn't come and do it so that people could look at her and say, boy, she's took this and gave this to him and anointed his head and anointed his feet. And she didn't do it so that others could look at her. You know, as I'm teaching that in my Sunday school class about how we're to give, you know, when it talks about almsgiving in Matthew 6, he says, don't even let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. It's not so that people can look at us and say, boy, ain't they spiritual? Ain't they something? If you think that, then you think that. But listen, it's not. If you think that about somebody, you go ahead and think it until you prove different. But what I'm saying, that's not why we do it. He said she's done what she could. She'd done it in humility because it was about him and not about her. It was about him and not about that alabaster box of ointment and what it cost. She didn't come to Jesus and say, I know this is costly. I know this cost a whole lot, but listen, I want you to have it. Listen, he already knew what it cost. He already knew what it was. Friend, and it was all because of what she done. She come and done what she could. She had to come and kneel before him. She didn't care what folks thought about her. She didn't care about the indignation that they had. All that she was concerned about was doing what she could, and that for the Savior. And I look in my life and I wonder, am I really concerned about doing what I can for the Savior? Ain't He worthy of whatever we do? Ain't He worthy of more than we do? Why, of course He is. He's worthy of it all. She didn't care about what it done to her hair. She didn't care what she looked like when she got done. She just didn't care. Hey, listen, I've seen meetings. We've been in meetings when God would blow by. Hearts would get squeezed. Women's hair get messed up. Makeup used to run. I've been in meetings when, man, makeup was coming down through here. Didn't care. Why? They wanted to praise the Lord. Wanted to be excited about Him. And listen, if it took a little hand raising and a little shouting and a little praise and a little crying and it's going to mess makeup up, that was fine. Hey, it didn't matter to her. If there was indignation, if people didn't understand, she was going to do what she could. And that for Him. I don't know why you'd want to give that. I don't know why you'd give time. Ain't that the way it was before you got saved, Jeremiah? You always said when you talked to Miss Sarah, couldn't believe that she not only went to church on Sunday morning, but went on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Couldn't understand that. You know, the world looks at us. They can't understand that, why we want to come to church. They can't understand why we want to praise Him. They can't understand why we want to give. Hey, I'm going to tell you, there's some carnal Christians in the same shade this morning. They don't understand why we do what we do. I remember the first time you said, well, you said the Lord didn't ask for that. But I'll be honest with you, I remember the first time He ever dealt with me about giving to missions. I was praying about that thing. You start praying about something, He'll begin to open your eyes on some things when you want to know something. And two things, if you'll pray and begin to read the Word of God, you'll get an answer. And I'll never forget when He began to deal with me. We were just coming up the highway over here, coming to church on one Sunday morning. And I'd been praying about what we need to give in missions. And I mean, this is before we ever done Faith Promise and all these things. And I needed to be giving the missions. You know, that's more than my tithe. And boy, you won't talk about have to, you got to get humble to want to study. You know, it's one thing to be taught and trained and understand tithing. But boy, I'm telling you, when you're going to give extra, boy, now that gets a little tough sometimes. Because now, I'll be honest with you, I feel required, if you let me put it that way, to give my tithe. I do. There's a little bit of me that's a little afraid not to pay my tithes. I'll be honest with you. You may not feel that way. I do. I'm a little afraid not to pay my tithes. So I'm just that way. But you know, when it comes to mission giving and giving to those that are in need and all them things, now that's in my ballpark now. That's for me to make that decision. And nobody else is going to get to see me give it. And nobody else is going to get to know what I've done. And nobody, I'm going to get no glory whatsoever out of giving this. I'm going somewhere. But yet, there's a God in heaven that can take that and use it. You know, it's not about me getting the glory, but it's about me saying, Lord, here it is. I want You to have it. Whatever He's after, I want You to have it. And listen, and to do it in humility. It's not to be seen. It's not for you know, I believe it was in Matthew 6, He told them not let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. And they would, according to history, they'd come out there and blow trumpets and flutes and all kinds of things and make a big deal about giving. Listen, that ain't it. Listen, yes, people saw her. People knew what she was doing. But friend, it was for Him and not for nobody else. He said, she hath done what she could. You know what you can do and what you can't do. She was willing to give something that was pricey to her. But she was also willing to do it in humility. You know, she could have went out there and just gave Him that box of ointment and said, all right, here you go. You can wash your own feet. You can pour it over your own hair. And then go on. But you know what? She got down on her hands and knees and took her hair and wiped His feet. I don't know another place of humility. I don't know how much more humble you can get than to do that. She's washing the Savior's feet with her hair. I don't know. She had got out of the way to do what she needed to do. The Bible said in the book of James, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He knew what she was doing. He knew what she was up to. Pride is all about us, but humility is all about Him. You know what keeps lost people lost? Pride. I mean, for the most part, once they learn that they're lost, it's pride. Now, you've got to get people lost first, but it's pride. You know what will keep me and you serving from serving like we should? Pride. You know what? You know what pride will want us to do? It'll want us to put on a show and tell that it's about us, but it's about Him. Humility. Humility. She's done what she could in humility. How about us? How humble is our heart today? How humble is it? Well, I'm telling you to get humble, and I tell you, it's tough to do this sometimes. You just got to get out of the way. You got to get out of the way. I got to get out of the way
to go do it.
You ever, let me ask you this. I use praise a lot for this. But have you ever just wanted to praise the Lord? I mean, He's done something for you. We get up here in the choir, or we're singing out here whenever, and maybe open a time of testimony, or we're between songs, and just want to testify. But there's just something that holds you back. You want to raise your hand while the choir's singing, or while the preacher... Let me say this, by the way. If you can raise your hand while the choir's singing, you can raise your hand while I'm preaching too, by the way. Amen. That won't hurt you. If you can shout while we're singing, you can shout while I'm preaching. Amen. Listen. But have you ever wanted to do that? Say, boy, I tell you, I'd like to raise my hand right there. I want to praise the Lord, but there's something that just holds you back. There's a little pride in there, you see. Because we've worried about what other people might think, or what other people might say, or any of those things. You say, well, I'm just not outspoken. I don't have that type of personality. That's okay. So if you just say, and you can look down at the ground if you want to, and say, boy, I just want to praise the Lord. I'm glad to be saved. You know. I'm going to tell on my wife. She hates it when I tell stories on her. I remember the first time me and her were learning to sing together. And for me to play for her, I play the guitar for her. And she, right after we first got married, and we were learning to sing and play together. And I remember we was up at my mom and dad's, and mama wanted her to sing. And now this is how shy my wife was, and backwards. She said, I'll sing, but I'm going to go in here in the kitchen and sing. And you stand over here and listen. Now that wasn't pride, that was shyness, okay? But listen, sometimes we just got to get over some things. And she got over it, didn't she? Now she don't care to get up here and sing it. That's good. You got to get over some things. You just got to get over it. You know what? Mary didn't care what anybody else thought. She didn't care. It was all in humility. It was all in humility. Let me tell you, it's not what anybody else thinks of. It's about what the Savior thinks of us. It's about what He thinks. Number three, what she done was costly. What she done was in humility. But number three, what she done was a blessing. And what I mean by that, if you'll look in the book of John, what does the Bible say? After she wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You realize that everybody else sitting in that house got a blessing from what she done. They couldn't avoid it. When something smells, you can't avoid it. It don't matter how bad, good or bad, you can't avoid it. Don't you just love to go by a candy shop? Man, you smell all that candy cooking. Don't you? I love it when people start grilling. When springtime and summertime comes around, I love to smell that grill just to cooking. Huh? Love to smell it. You can't avoid it. You know, sometimes what you do not only brings glory and honor to the Lord, but it'll bless those sitting around. I don't think that she meant, I'm not going to say that she set out and said, boy, I'm going to do this for the Lord, but in the process it's going to bless these people over here. That ain't it. But I will be honest with you, I'd rather be a blessing. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want to do something that you would be a blessing for? I mean, everybody around benefited from it. Now, look here. I want to say that when we do something for the Lord, everybody around us should benefit. Should have a blessing from it. You know, it's like testifying. You know, we testify a lot on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights sometimes. And to sit and listen to people, it blesses me. It does. I love to hear it. I love to hear people just praise the Lord. I love to hear folk talk about what the Lord's done. Because you know what that does? That kicks my mind in gear and begins to twist in my mind and say, hey, what they're talking about, He's done the same for me. He's caused the same thing to happen for me. He's worthy of my praise. Listen, it just makes me want to praise Him then. Don't it just make you want to do something for Him? Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I get ashamed watching other folk work for Him. I get ashamed thinking, boy, I'm not doing what I can. I'm not doing what I could. And here she is, and I mean, her actions, I mean, it caused a wonderful... You know what? When they say that is a... I don't know, I've never smelled... I believe I could spell it. Smell spike dirt. as I don't think I have, but in looking it up, I looked up to see what it would smell like, and a lot of people said that it had a sweet earthy smell. Now I don't know what that is. I mean, I know what a sweet smell is. I know what an earthy smell is. You put them together, I don't know what that smells like. But no doubt it obviously smelled good. And so the aroma filled the whole. You know, when you do something for the Lord, and it may be costly, and you do it in humility, you know what? It'll have a sweetness to it. It'll bless those that are around. And it won't be something hard for some people or for most people. You know, it's like we open up to talk about the Lord, and I know folk have bad days and bad times. But man, every now and again, some people just don't know how to testify about the goodness of the Lord. They want to tell about all the bad things that's happened. And not all. Listen, if you want to tell about the bad things, you better at the end of that thing, you better get to tell them about the good things. Say, I want to tell you what's happened, but let me tell you how the Lord handled this thing. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But you know, some people get in a woe is me complex, and that's all they want to talk about. Hey, listen, she done it. And you may not be doing it to be a blessing except to bring a blessing and honor to Him, but then you'll be a blessing to others sitting around you. It's like singing. You know why I sing? I don't sing. I don't sing necessarily for you. I sing for Him. But if it's a blessing to you and I want it to be a blessing, that's great. I sure don't want to get up here and it be bad. But I want it to be a blessing. But you know why it was a blessing? Because she come and done it for Him. She come and done it for Him. It filled the whole house. It filled the whole house. Now, the Lord said something over here. He said, let her alone. He said, don't bother her. Let me tell you something, Dave. If somebody's wanting to do something for the Lord, let them alone. Let them do it. Just let them alone. Let them do it. Somebody wanting to give something, let alone. Let them do it. It ain't us. It ain't between us and them and God. It's between them and God. But you know what he said over here in the book of Mark? He said, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for her, for a memorial of her. Am I not telling the same story today? Some 2,000 years ago, she done what she done, and we're still talking about it today. What happens if we done something for the Lord? And if He tarried His coming or waited on His coming, and it was 100 years or 200 years or 300 years, and people were still talking about what you done for the Lord. Ain't that something? He said, they're going to tell about what she's done for me. It was costly to her. She done it in humility, not to put on a show, but because she loved the Lord. And all that she done turned out to be a blessing to all those that were sitting around. Ain't that amazing? She went out there simply to do what she could. No matter how little it seems to us. You know, the old saying is right. The songwriter had it right. Little is much when God is in it. To do what we can for Him. What can you do for Him today? What can I do for Him? Makes you think, don't it? Makes you think. I've been thinking about, you know, I'm fixing the clothes, okay? And I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. I'm going to pray and I'm going to get satisfied on it. The Bible talks about when you give you money, you know, as every man purposeth in his heart. I keep a shoebox full of change. And there's probably, I don't know how much is in it, I ain't going to tell you, but you know, if you take a shoebox full and it's got quarters, dimes, and nickels, and a few gold dollars in it, that's a lot of money. And I've been trying to figure out what I can do with that money. You know, I can go buy me some tools. We can put it on bills. Or I can give it to the Lord. Just been trying to figure out what can I do with it. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Where do you think the blessing's going to lie at in that whole situation? Just giving you an example. Let's bow our heads this morning if we would across the house. Jacob, give us a little music, son, if you would. I'm going to ask you to stand with your head bowed this morning. Have you done what you could for the Lord? He's done everything for us. First of all, friend, if you're in here this morning saved, He has saved you, gave you a home in heaven, made you a fit subject so that you can go to heaven. And then we get a little stingy with things that cost. Preacher, you want me to give it all? I ain't saying give it all. I ain't saying write your rent check out and all. That ain't what I'm saying. But I'm saying, is there something costly and precious to you that you look at it and you say, boy, I tell you, this is going to be hard to give up, but I won't give it up. And that for the cause of Christ. To see sinners saved. To see folk that need help to find help. And to be furthered in the gospel and the cause of Christ. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come. Say, Lord, I just come and pray. And say, Lord, I just need some help on this to get me out of the way to be able to do this. Maybe you've not praised Him as you should. Maybe you've not worshipped Him as you should. I know we're all different, friend. But He's worthy of our praise. Are you doing what you can? Are you doing what you can? So, preacher, I'm doing everything that I can to serve Christ Jesus the Lord with my whole heart. That's good. Keep doing it. But I'm going to tell you, whatever we do, let's be a blessing to those that are about us in the house. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you need to come and pray, most of all, if you've never been saved, never trusted Christ Jesus the Lord to save you, I want you to come, for He died for you.